Real excited to be joined tonight by Ryan, publisher of GoCougs.com and HOUNAL, something I'm really excited to get talking about tonight. So, Ryan, obviously we have plenty to talk about when it comes to what's going on in the world of Houston Cougar sports, but I wanted to start out talking to you tonight by talking about something that's really important. You've spearheaded it this year, and that's the creation of the HOUNAL subscription service. And I want to start kind of the genesis here. What made you want to get into the NIL space here with the Cougs to start with?
Well, it started because no one else was doing it. And we got into this process a year ago, July, when NIL came into existence, I guess. And no one was doing anything. And that continued for a year. And the first year that NIL was happening, really, no U of H athlete was making any money off of his or her name, image, or likeness. And during the summer, we had been kicking around ideas. We'd been talking to people and finally decided on the model that we chose, which is a subscription model. People can pay to subscribe to content generated by Cougar athletes. And it seems like it's just an obvious thing for a subscription content website to do that. And maybe it is. And maybe I'm just really dumb. But it did take a while to figure it out. I just happened to walk into Lauren Sampson's office and started talking to her about this idea. And she was so supportive in a way that in 20 plus years of dealing with U of H, it's rare to find employees that are supportive of ideas that aren't theirs. But she was. And she was like, we've actually been talking about something similar to this. I'm going to put you in contact with somebody. And it just took off. And it took off immediately. And went way faster than I expected it to. And it's been awesome working with Cougar basketball players. We've worked with some football players. We're working with some female student athletes right now. But for the most part, what we've done is with men's basketball. And I've had a blast. And it's just been so interesting seeing these guys off the court. You know, you get them in a media situation after a game, and they're like robots when they're around Kelvin. But you get them away from him and away from, you know, the U of H backdrop. And they're actually funny. And they're interesting. And I wasn't prepared for that. And so it's just been a really cool couple of months getting to know these guys. And it's going to keep growing. And I'm pretty excited about it.
You kind of alluded to it there. What's been the biggest surprise for you since launching?
Well, I didn't allude to it, Sam. I told you exactly what the biggest surprise was.
I wanted to see if you had another answer to that. I was curious. What was the biggest surprise about the player exclusive content so far? I guess you kind of said it, just getting guys' personality. But what specifically of all the stuff you've put out so far?
Well, the thing to me is that we wanted to show a side that fans don't get to see. And players bought into it immediately, and they've kind of made it their own. And I have been surprised that they've taken ownership of it so quickly. Ryan Elvin wrote an essay about losing his father a little over a year ago. And that was one of the first things that I wanted to do, was to get him to do that. I was worried that it would be a subject that he would run away from. He wouldn't want to talk about publicly. And so I kind of skirted the issue and asked a person to ask a person to, you know, kind of go around the long way. And we never got anywhere with it. And so finally, one day after practice, I just asked him, and I'm like, hey, do you want to do this? And he's like, yeah, let's do it tomorrow. Okay. So I guess the thing is that they're just so open to new ideas and to doing something different. And I didn't expect that completely at the beginning. And we've had some goofy ideas, and some of them are actually going to happen. Some of them probably aren't, but I've been excited that the guys have been just so open and interested in kind of all of our silliness.
For those that aren't already subscribed, I guess, firstly, how can they join HOUNIL? And once they do, what's some of the subscriber exclusive content that they're going to be treated to? We've already talked about just really fantastic, by the way, can't recommend it enough. The thing that Ryan Elvin wrote about his father's passing.
So you can join at gocougs.com or at HOUNIL.com. It starts as low as $20 a month. It can get very expensive if you have the means and the desire to help student athletes in that way. We are trying to get, we're not to this point, but we're trying to get it to where 100% of every dollar goes to paying student athletes for their name, image, and likeness. What you get is 3 to 4 to 5 pieces of content a week. It's video, it's audio in terms of like podcasts, and it's essays. We are looking to add some different things, some events, maybe some watch parties, a post-season, like after the season, after the Final Four kind of event with the men's basketball players. We really tried to make an event happen for volleyball, like a watch party. It just didn't work out. So we're trying to do different things. We're trying to get guys to engage in different ways. For our first 50, as an example, our first 50 subscribers, Marcus Sasser wrote a personal card to each of them. Where else are you getting that? We made the cards, so it was Marcus on the front, and then it was just a thank you message inside, and he wrote personal messages to all 50 of the first subscribers. We're trying to do more like that, to go above and beyond what people's expectations are, and to give them experiences with guys and to do some different things. We're going to auction off a photo of Juwan Roberts made the first shot of the year. He dunked a ball in the first game. I don't remember who that was. Northern Colorado, maybe?
Northern Colorado, yep.
Yeah, and so he dunked it, and our guy, Mario Puente, got a great photo of it. And so I had two of them blown up. I got Juwan to sign one, and we made part of his contract. We gave him a second one, and he was floored by it. He's like, "You're giving me this?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm giving it to you." He's like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "What do you want me to do with it?" I was like, "Well, I want you to put it in your living room and make Jairus look at it every single day because they're roommates." So, but we're doing different things. We're trying to do different things for subscribers, but also for players. And it's been fun and it's interesting. And like Juwan Roberts, I would never in a million years think of him as funny and goofy and interesting, but he is. He's fantastic. And we've had, Galen Robinson, the Godfather, has been working with us. He's on our advisory board. He is done a lot of our interviews. He's now in France playing for a French league. But I talk to him almost every day. And he's still, I mean, he lives and dies with this program still. Even though he's beyond playing for it and he's overseas, he still lives and dies just like everybody here. So I don't remember what your question was, but I think that was the answer.
I think you covered it pretty well.
Okay.
I wanted to, for one more question, just stay on NIL, but maybe zoom out a tiny bit. For the U of H fan who's maybe not entirely on board yet with the idea of NIL for whatever reason at this point,
yeah,
why is this so essential to U of H's long-term athletic success?
Before NIL became a thing, U of H went to the Final Four, went to 5 before that. But after July 1st of 2021, the teams you want to compete against, Kansas, Texas Tech, Texas, and OU, Arkansas. They all had these massive programs ready to go for their basketball players. Okay, Kansas is getting their guys hundreds of thousands of dollars in autographs, in all kinds of things. Texas Tech has basically opened up an auto showroom where their basketball players park underneath the arena, the whatever that's called, United Spirit, whatever, arena. That doesn't exist here. There's nowhere close to here. The U of H competes at a very, very high national level because you have a Hall of Famer head coach. You have his son, the number one recruiter, who is closing guys in a big way. And they have development. They develop players. They bring guys in that they think can work in their system, and they develop them, and the players get better. This is different than what you see in football. But a guy can go get that everywhere. They can get a family atmosphere at other programs. They can get development at other programs. They can get a really good coach at other programs. So why would they choose U of H? Well, the reason that U of H may not be in the picture in the future is the NIL component. And Kelvin Sampson talked about it a little bit today in his media availability, is that it's going to play a huge part in the transfer portal. You know, it's against NCAA rules for a school to talk to a player before he's in the portal. But you know what they can do? They can talk to his marketing representative. NIL allowed marketing representatives to be a thing. They're basically agents. But they legalized that. Well, now there's this runaround, and schools are contacting players. You know, there are going to be players here that leave because of NIL opportunities elsewhere, unless, as a collective U of H fan base steps up. And Lincoln Cougs, which is run by, you know, Landon Gosling and I'm blanking on his name, Austin Elrod, and a couple other guys, they're doing a great job getting businesses to come in to partner with athletes. They're kind of like a matchmaking service, a middleman, a broker. They're not doing it on this level. They're not doing it on the fan level, on the one-on-one level. Mike Pittman with Hoop and Holler, which Star Pizza, Eat Star Pizza, they did a great job. They're actually the reason that Lincoln Cougs and HOU NIL can do what we do, because they kind of opened the door. They made people see that this was a thing. So I would say the thing that makes this important is that everyone else is doing it. And you're never going to compete in a sustained way unless you're doing it too. And everybody at U of H has this expectation that Tillman will take care of it, that Tillman will pay for it. And it's not going to be that way in NIL. Mattress Mack pledged $1 million, but that's a one-time thing. He may do it again, but there's no guarantee. You know, business objectives and marketing budgets, those change. Fans don't change. Fans are fans forever. And U of H fans have to embrace that if this is what they want, if they want to move into the Big 12 and compete on that national level, well, you've got to compete on everything. Facilities, coaches, development, fans and crowds, and NIL.
So I'll attempt to smoothly transition to the on-field or on-court Cougar sports happenings. We are just coming off last Saturday's men's basketball loss to Alabama. And I'm curious, what do you think that Crimson Tide win says about this Cougar team and where they are right at this moment and what they need to work on from here?
I think U of H has struggled when the other team has size. Oregon, they looked a little intimidated. I think it changed some shots. Alabama had size in the middle and at power forward. And I think it changed a little bit. Now, there was like a 20-minute span in the game where U of H was very, very good. But Kelvin alluded to this a bit in the post-game, that at about the 16 and a half minute mark, Jarris stole a ball and took it all the way and laid it in. The U of H lead was 15. The building was insane. It was as fun an atmosphere as I've ever experienced in a U of H basketball arena. And the little Alabama Mick Cronin, Nate Oates guy calls timeout. And he yanked four starters. And he put four subs in. And they basically just started playing street ball. And the U of H guys didn't look like they even knew how to combat that. They're so ingrained in taking you out of what you want to do. They're so very good at doing that. Like, if you run a set, they're going to defend that. Or if you're running plays or anything like that, they've got that. But when it switched to that street ball, that just driving at U of H defenders, they really struggled with it. Tremont Mark struggled with it. I mean, he picked up three fouls in like 3 minutes. He picked up two in 6 seconds. And then the final one, the offensive charge, they did not handle that well. They spent all week in practice really focused on moving the ball and moving their bodies. And in the game, you just didn't see it. There was not a lot of movement. It looked very ISO. It was one-on-one. It just didn't look like the Cougar offense we've seen. It was a couple of games ago, maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, they passed the ball really, really well, maybe Norfolk State, and passed it all around the perimeter very well and then made shots over that zone. And that looked completely different than what you saw Saturday afternoon. It just looked tentative. They never looked like they were in a flow. Could you blame some of that on Marcus Sasser having just this massive gouge above his eye? Probably. It took him out of his game, and it kind of took everybody else out of theirs. Jamal Shedd did his best to put that team on his back. But, you know, it wasn't enough in the last 15 minutes. I mean, they just got smoked. And what will you see tomorrow on Tuesday? I don't know when this is airing. When will you see yesterday or whenever? NCANT. I don't know what that's going to look like. I know that they'll be ready at Virginia. I don't know if they'll win that game. I think that's going to be a really hard place to play in a really ugly style of ball. And I expect it to look like the Villanova game from last year. If U of H can't shoot again, they're going to lose. If they can overcome that in that zone and just ugly basketball, then they'll win. And that'll be a really, really nice win. But, I mean, at this point, I think it could go either way.
I think there are at least a couple good answers this one, but what individual player so far has been the biggest surprise to you in the current season?
Juwan Roberts, without a doubt. He has stepped up in a way. He told us in one of our very first NIL interviews that he felt like he was very tentative last year. Like he was walking on eggshells. And he realized that to play the game like he knows how, he can't do that. He has to be more assertive, more aggressive. And I think you've seen it this year. He's also been very good for Jarris. I think Jarris has a long way to go to live up to the billing that he's gotten, to live up to that he's the number seven guy in the draft. But I think Juwan pushing him has helped, and I think it's going to continue to help. I think the next month when they're out of school, when it's just basketball, I think you're going to see Jarris take a huge jump. I think you're going to see Terrence Arsenault take a huge jump, and I also think you're going to see JVA Francis take a massive jump. I think he was ready to bust out in the Alabama game and picked up two really, really fast fouls, and they never brought him back in. But I think Juwan Roberts is that guy. I have been so impressed with him personally, but also with him on the floor. I think he's taken over that spot that you've seen Josh Carlton and Justin Gorham and other guys have on this team on that floor. And he's done a really good job of being that guy inside.
You know, I think the two biggest issues we've seen with this team so far, at least on a macro level, are keeping opponents from getting offensive boards. I think Kelvin said after a couple of games ago, he said something effective, wasn't sure this was going to be a good rebounding team, that we would have maybe seen that by this point. And I think we've also seen the other big issue, a periodic inability to get points against some of your better defensive opponents. So I would ask you, which of those problems do you think could get fixed between now and the big games in mid-March?
I would love to tell you it would be to score against better defenses, but I think you have to see that before you can believe it. I do think they can rebound better. But that's positioning, that's effort, that's want to. And I think that's a good question, but I do think it's the rebounding of those two options. I think it's the rebounding. Go ahead. I don't know where I'm going.
I was going to say, I've tried to keep the vibes mostly positive here, but I don't think we can avoid talking about the Cougar football regular season that just finished up while I have you here. Mm-hmm. And I realize the answer to this question could take up entire interviews, entire podcast episodes. We just have done.
I'm willing to do it.
About 3 hours of premium content about this very not premium season. But what do you think were the biggest reasons why this team went from this preseason group of five darling to being 7-5 and playing in the Independence Bowl?
Let me ask you a question, Sam.
Hit me.
What's the defining moment of this season to you?
Oof. I think it was, honestly, definitely not a positive moment. I would say
it would not be.
Donovan Smith converting on 4th-and-20 in overtime in Lubbock.
In Lubbock, yeah. 4th-and-20 in Lubbock is probably, like, if you're looking at positives, Clayton Toon flipping into the end zone in San Antonio, right? Clayton Toon's 4th-and-15 scramble that took like an hour and a half in Memphis. Those are the two moments I see offensively. But in a negative way, there is 4th-and-20. It's SMU just railing you. It's Dana screaming at fans when they're booing him for his clock management. Is that Tulane? I don't remember.
It was when clock went to zeros against Tulane.
Yeah, in regulation. A player slapping a Tulsa player or one of his own teammates. Losing to three tiny private schools. My favorite is the Texas Tech game, watching on TV, and Tim Brando spent 4 hours talking about how this is the New Year's Six team and wouldn't shut up about it. And all you have to do is win this game against Tech and you're the New Year's Six team. There was never a time during the season that they looked like that. I wrote an article in August, which looks ridiculous now, of will there be enough balls to go around offensively? I don't know why you looked as bad as you did. I know you looked a lot better when you started playing the bottom half of the American, which coincided with the second half of your season. They opened the offense. They threw it around a bunch. You targeted Dell 17 times a game. I mean, it's easy to look good against those bad teams, but then you come and you lay an egg against Tulsa. And I can't imagine going into a new conference with all these possibilities and feeling as disinterested as I am right now. Like this bowl game, it's who cares, you know? And I hate feeling that way, but against a 6-6 team in Shreveport, which is not exactly
the Paris of Northwest Louisiana right there.
It's really Southern Arkansas. Let's be honest.
Oh yeah.
Louisiana doesn't claim Shreveport. And we should probably talk more about that. But
so really everything about what, like 50 miles north of I-10 kind of.
Yeah. See, I don't have really a lot of love for anything north of I-10. Basically, that is the north to me. So Shreveport, not a big thing on my. They have a really good ponchos if you're looking for places to eat when you're in Shreveport. But this season was just a nonstop failure, and it never looked like it bothered the head coach. The only time he, before the season, there was a huge ESPN profile of him, and he made a point in it of saying, I honestly don't care what people think of me. And then in every single media availability, post-game press conference, he made a comment about something somebody had said about him. And that's what I remember about him and about this season, is that the guy that doesn't care what anybody thinks really, really cares. And he just never looked like the losses bothered him all that much. Players did, but the head coach didn't. And I just don't. At some point, I feel if he doesn't care, why should I? Now, it's a job to him. It's not a job to me. It's, you know, it's a passion. But I feel like you saw with this program, the support they got in San Antonio was really nice. But as soon as they lost in Lubbock, the crowds were not great. In that first game, Kansas, I think, at home. And so that support was really just not for the program, but for Dana Holgerson's program. The support was kind of just an inch deep. And people were kind of expecting this. And so I just don't know where you go from here. You don't have a quarterback. Your best player, your wide receiver, opted out. You're losing everything on the defensive line, really. I guess you get Alton McCaskill back, but if you're an offense that only has one weapon, or Stacy Snead, obviously, Brandon Campbell, but if you only have a running game, how well is that going to go?
Do you think there's any way that Dana can get anything more than maybe that shallow support level that I agree with you is kind of where this fan base is at this point? Is there any way, I'm not going to say that Dana could get himself in the kind of high esteem that Kelvin Sampson's in, but is there any way that Dana isn't going to always perpetually be a bad 3-game runaway from most of the fan base bailing on him?
Well, you have to care about things like that. And he doesn't. I mean, marketing is just not something he's going to do. Working to bring the fan base in is not something he's going to do. He's not going to do anything extra with the media or anything like that. Nobody likes talking about Tom Herman. And maybe Tom Herman was just promoting himself. But he helped the program while he did it. You know, he got people excited about this program even before they started winning. He won everybody over. Dana, it's just not important to him. He does his John Granato interviews, and that he seems to enjoy because it's his buddy. But everything else, he's just not all that interested in. Nothing public facing. And, you know, if you're just not interested in any of it, why is anybody going to be that interested in you? They're going to support you because you coach the team they care about. But when push comes to shove, I mean, you've seen it. There's a lot of people that want him out. And obviously it's never going to happen right now because the money situation is just way, way, way off. But there's been no changes, nothing public anyways. There's been no pushback against Sam Brown for the slapping incident or anything like that. It's just business as usual. And, you know, you lose to Tulsa and they went radio silent. The entire program went radio silent for a week. And there's no other program in the country that does that. There's no end of the season wrap up. There was a 10-minute media call after the bowl announcement. Tomorrow there's going to be 15 minutes with a couple of players. But, I mean, they just announced that 6 hours ago. They just don't go out of their way to say, we care about the fan experience, or anything like that. I wish they would, because I think it would make it more interesting. I think getting people's buy-in makes it better for everyone. Against Alabama, it was a horrible way for that game to end. But I think a lot of people will still walk away thinking that experience was awesome. Now, winning it would have made it a million times better. But you can't deny that when the people came together, when it was this big event, and that's what Houston does better than anything else, is events, big events. And that was a big event, and it was fun. And I just don't see, I mean, you see the crowds at football. You're nowhere close to making it a big event. You'll have a big crowd probably for TCU. Obviously for Texas, but they're not going to be in red and white. You're a long way from exciting people about this football program. Sorry someone for ruining asked me, your
no,
listenership.
No, I was gonna, no, you're good. Someone asked me on I can't remember who, I was on someone else's show recently, and they kind of asked me a similar-ish question about Dana. And I said, you can get away with being kind of not interested in public-facing stuff, not interested in facing the program, if you're a really good, really innovative ball coach. But I don't think in any of the 4 years here, even I would say
you don't even have to be a good ball coach. You've got to win.
Yeah.
If you win, a lot of things take care of themselves. Nick Saban is as bad at the public-facing stuff as Dana is, but he does it. He does a lot of it. And then he wins. And that's the huge difference. And
yeah. It's low hanging fruit.
I mean, Kelvin
really
Sampson
is, and he just
is
refused
not
to take
a
it.
Cuddly teddy bear. You know, he's not. But he wins and he markets his program. And he's relentless in both. And he doesn't accept second best from anybody. And that includes people like me when I ask a stupid question. And most everybody gets a stupid question. He's the only one that tells you that's a stupid question. Do better. Make it. Here's what you should have asked. And I've never seen that. But Dana there are obviously things Dana cares about, but anything public-facing is not it. I also don't think he gives good Christmas presents. That's just a guess, though.
The special seasonal winter Red Bull cans, or is he just going to go with all diet all the time?
Card. Well, yeah, you're getting gift cards. And not good gift cards. It's like, you know, grocery store, gas station gift cards. I'm trying to think of something awful. Arby's.
So like one of those stores that went out of business this
year.
Yeah,
like Circuit City. Probably going to get you some of those.
Fries.
Yeah, Bennigan's. So Mervyn's. I mean, these are good places. You know, I might still have two or three Mervyn shirts in there. But
Yeah. See, maybe Dan is not such a bad gift giver after all. We might not think he's the capable Chess leader King? Of this program going to the Big 12, but Dana, maybe Underay is a gift giver.
I mean, he's going to be here a few years. So nothing's changing now. And it's not changing in a year.
And people are just like, well, you should fire him. And it's like, okay, do you have like the $19 million?
Tillman. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not just Tillman, the $19 million for him, but all his assistant buyouts, the potential, whatever it's going to cost you to get the next guy in, which will probably be
a lot.
Be a similar figure at this point. I mean, of money.
I was surprised that Dana is going to be in the top half of the Big 12. Like everything you hear now is guys getting $7, $9, $11 million a year. But it's really not that way in the Big 12. Lance Leopold doesn't make much. Gus Malzahn, because of his contract with Auburn, doesn't make much. Satterfield's not going to make much at Cincinnati.
I think it was only like $3 million or something like that.
Kind of well, I mean, we say not much, but right.
Yeah, right.
$300,000 a month. That's still adequate, but it's not the huge numbers you're seeing everywhere else. But if you bring somebody new in here, it's going to be a lot. And it's still going to be at least 2 years. I think this contract extension was a little nuts. The only saving grace is that you can pay it out monthly. Tony Levine got a contract extension in May of 2014, which...
Great decision. Certainly with the benefit of hindsight, one that ages.
Well,
like,
I don't think that was a good decision at the time. It was, well, but this, you had to do something because of the 10-win season or the 12-win season and the Big 12 thing. You just had to do something, but you didn't have to give all the years. And I think that's where there's going to be issues down the road. It's just because of how many years were guaranteed on this. So that's my thought on that.
Just ending.
I can
on
break
the
down volleyball
note,
now too, right?
I think so.
Oh, okay. I don't know anything about volleyball.
You hit it over the net, and you try to hit it.
Well, no,
the
I went.
That's that. I've learned that much.
And it was fantastic. It was such an interesting environment to go to a game, and I will be back because it was just so fun. I don't understand anything about it. I understand the net thing. I understand diving into a table is kind of cool. But other than that, I don't understand. It's like soccer to me. But soccer is not nearly as fun as that was.
I was going to say, it is way more fun. And I'm someone that I would say generally likes soccer. But
yeah, I know.
One last time.
We need to talk about that.
Tell everyone listening where they can find all the good stuff you're doing right now at HOUNIL. I know you answered it, but worth reiterating because you've done a lot of really cool stuff there, and maybe anything you have coming up that you want to give a shout out to here.
HOUNIL.com and GoCougs.com. Two sites work together. Lots of content coming up. We've done over 50 articles in the last 30 days. I haven't really left the house because we've done so much. There's a lot of cool stuff coming up with players. We're recording now that finals are finally starting to get over. Once the guys get back from Virginia, it's going to be recording nonstop and writing together with players nonstop. We have so many cool ideas. We're going to be out in the community doing different sorts of things. I can't wait to see some of the things they come up with, some of the things we come up with, and that we do together. We film it. We have this great partnership with this company called Sparkle. And Sparkle's a glass cleaner. It's like Windex. I've never heard of Sparkle until we got into this. Now I'm all Sparkle all the time. I have bottles of it everywhere. And the Sparkle guys are actually really cool. They're getting into social media. They're getting into giving away Sparkle and Sparkle t-shirts. Like, to virtually anybody that says anything to them on Twitter. So if you see Sparkle Glass Cleaner, whatever, on Twitter, say something to them. They'll give you something for free. And we're doing some great gifts and some different things with some of the players. The glass cleaners, you know, Juwan and Jairus and JVA and Reggie Chaney, who I love, by the way, such a cool guy and has a great story. But HOUNIL.com, subscribe, help the players. The money that you will use in that subscription goes to the players, and it helps these guys do different things for their families. I've told this story on other podcasts, and a few years ago, U of H had players whose parents could not afford to go to the Elite Eight, to the Final Four. The NCAA doesn't pay for that. The NCAA pays for tickets, but they don't pay for plane trips or lodging or anything like that. You know, families find out at the same time that we do of where the team is going when they're playing. And some of these
families, it's real expensive to travel last second like that too.
Incredibly expensive. And we're, you know, basketball players do not come from polo family backgrounds. You know, it's not golf country club kids. It's just a different socioeconomic world, a reality. And so they're not necessarily able to afford that last minute travel to when you get to a city where they're hosting a regional. Well, guess what? Hotel prices are insane. And when you're doing it 3 days out, it's worse. And so there have been times when families can't go, or families had to stay, you know, 7 or 12 to a room, or one incident where some family members had to stay in a player's hotel room. And we have been talking to guys and like, let's put some away to make sure that your family is taken care of for the tournament. Had we gotten into this a little sooner, we'd have said the same thing about UVA. Let's help your family get to UVA because we think that's going to be a big game. Turns out it's a massive game. And that's the part that I love, is that we're going to be able, through this program, all of us coming together, fans, sponsors, and everybody, coming together to pay these players for their name and their image and their likeness. And it's not just to accumulate money. It's to do practical things. Did you know that parking is not part of your scholarship as an athlete?
I didn't, but it makes sense given how infamous UH parking rightly is, and two, right, how many athlete tweets I see about parking at U of H generally.
Yeah, well, it used to be, but I think at some point they sold the service and now it's an outside company. So it's not something from the university. But it's like $1,000. You know, they go all summer sessions, fall and winter and spring. And so you're there virtually every week. And it's like $1,000 to park. And then to get into the parking garage right next to the training facility in Fertitta, it's even more expensive. Well, it's not part of the scholarship. They have to pay for that separately. And that's part of the thing that NIL money is helping take care of. And we were trying to get a parking sponsor, like specifically for parking. It fell through at the last minute. We're going to keep trying, but that's something going forward I want to make sure that we can take care of in a very cool sort of way and turn it into a sponsorship with different ways that guys, that we can just make it work. So NIL is not Quinn Ewers at Texas in his Lamborghini. It's not Bijan making a mustard company or any of these other guys with these million-dollar things. For the most part, NIL is $100 to this player, $200 to this player. You know, there's women's soccer players at every school in this country that are getting a little bit on NIL. It's not million-dollar deals. And that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to take guys who are making nothing from it and get them something. and get other people something. And to partner with every single athlete on the U of H campus that wants to do something, because you have, this isn't a give money because you're an athlete. This is a, you have to do something for the money. There has to be a quid pro quo according to NIL rules and state law. And so we're requiring it. We're making sure that we're within those rules. You help us with this content, you get paid. And that's why NIL is so important, is it's doing very cool things for their families, for them. Yeah, sometimes it's paying for a date, but sometimes it's also paying for things that are way more important. And if we can help families get to a tournament game, get to a Final Four game, I'm gonna be proud of that the rest of my life.